I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm keeping it.
Is it recording still?
It's going still.
Oh, man. He just, like, he tried to go all,
like, producer.
Like, 70s NBC producer. Just
I
like,
felt like iCarly just then.
One, two, no three, but pointed at me.
I feel like Freddie from iCarly when I do that.
Yeah.
He, like, counts
three,
down.
Two. I couldn't so keep it in. Oh, yeah. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Trade Waiters podcast. My name is Daniel. I'm here with my brother, Nathan.
What are we reading on NPR?
What are we reading today, Nathan?
Today, we are reading Daredevil Born Again by Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli. I think that's how you pronounce it.
I think you butchered that.
It's and colorists are Christy Scheel and Richmond Lewis. And it was awesome.
Yeah, dude, I was honestly like kind of blown away with like how old this book is and how well it holds up
you for know sure. I mean?
It's
a little of its time. Like I noticed,
like
there's
a little.
Like the only thing that I would say is like that it's so of its time is that like you would see Foggy Nelson being like, oh, gee golly, you know?
Oh, yeah. And kind of like the coloring more specifically is like kind of what stood out to me when I was reading it. Just like it was a lot of flats. There wasn't a ton of like highlights or anything or any kind of blending in the colors.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like the main thing for me. But like the story is like really cool. Like it's written really well. The fight scenes are awesome. And yeah, it's not like cheesy. You
and
know what I mean?
It's like it's more like noir.
Yeah,
feeling, like,
yeah.
I guess rather than Daredevil, like rather than it focusing on like his powers, it's I don't know, it's really good. So I recommend it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. This is not what I expected for something that's almost like 40 years old.
Kingpin's like a big baby.
Yeah, like I've read other books like from this time period. Like I think this came out these issues came out in like 83-ish.
This is like Marvel's 25th anniversary like year.
Oh, dude,
25th
can you,
year.
Can
is
you
when
imagine?
This came out.
Just like going to the comic shop and each issue is 75 cents each.
That'd be ideal.
Oh, that'd be great. I get excited when I found like a $3 comic, yep, you know, let alone 75 cents.
I know. Yeah. It sucks that Free Comic Book Day this year is canceled.
Oh, yeah. Because they're not even getting any books. Like they stopped.
Yeah.
And that's nuts. I thought it was just going to be for like, I don't know why I thought it'd be just 1 week.
Yeah.
But
that's
just
the 1 week
altogether.
No, nope. I don't think we've had any updates as to whether it's when it's coming back. So
I'm still not convinced.
I guess we're just
trading.
I'm worried about when that does come back, because now I got to read a trade every week, and I wasn't reading single issues very.
I spent like $400 at like my built up pull list.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into the book. So funny thing that happened is we're both reading it off of Comixology,
which is in trade form.
It is in trade form, but you got to specifically select it on Comixology. I just looked up, basically, what the, on Comixology, like the individual issues, and I saw that all of them were available on Comixology Unlimited, but one of them I had to pay for, like one issue. I think it was like issue number 227, and then I realized after reading like a couple books that the whole trade is just available on Comixology, so I paid like $1.68 for one of the books. So
you could have just looked up Born Again. And
I don't
then
know.
Why,
I feel like I
how
did.
How did you even find? So
I don't
you
know,
Googled
man.
All the issues.
No, I didn't Google them.
How did you know they were part of it?
I went to Comixology and I said Daredevil Born Again, and then I clicked on Story Arc, I think, and then it brings up the individual issues, and I think that's where I messed up. I didn't say like trade, or I didn't, you know, I don't know, but.
Such a rookie.
Regardless, we're going to get into it.
So what's the story, Nathan?
So the idea behind Daredevil Born Again is Matt Murdock's very... He's Daredevil. He's back.
he never left, but he's back.
He's back, but he's an angry Daredevil for some reason. And he is just very angry with himself, I assume, because of something that happened in the issues before. But basically... Karen Page, who was his previous lover, became a movie star, and then with that got into drugs and fell super hard, got to rock bottom, and then sold basically what Daredevil's true identity is for a fix for drugs. And now that went up to the Kingpin, and now he knows about it, and now he's just ruining Daredevil's life, and he's got to figure that out.
Right.
Well, so
well said.
So, starting on issue 225,
seven.
the first part. This is where we see basically Karen, selling off for a fix, and immediately you kind of see how gritty this book is, just because of Mazzucchelli. You know, he's very serious and very, you know, just kind of crazy with his art. So.
Super gritty. Like, there's like blinds, and he's able to convey like light coming through it.
That's got
to
be the best, you know, thing in comics, right?
Like it's best. And then the shadows effects on each person. It's so insane. Like, how much detail, like, doing this page alone. Well, I guess it's the colors and inkers together,
mm-hmm.
but that's going to be a pain in the ass, and it looks so cool.
Yeah, it looks great.
So much work is into it.
And you kind of see how low she is. Wherever this is, it's not a good place.
It's like Mexico, and so I guess she sells it to this dude in Mexico and then goes up the ladder, basically.
Yep, to Kingpin. And he's on his yacht, as all evil people are.
Right.
Basically, and then he's
got his summer gear on.
Yep, he looks like just a big buff baby on this yacht.
How'd you like how he was kind of drawn in this book?
I think the proportions and everything are spot on. I really like this Kingpin.
You know, he's naked in a couple of panels, spoilers. But
like his dick's out?
No. Like, he's just like no shirt on.
Yeah.
And he looks like more like a baby than I'm like kind of yeah. used to.
And he's like just standing there, and like he's just got these like baby stubby legs and like cankles like all babies have. But it makes it work because like there's a couple different scenes in here where he's working out and you see all of his like muscles and stuff. And you're like, there's like actual muscle behind this man.
So right. His strength. Yeah. But the headshots look sick.
So specific we also open up on Matt Murdock in his house, and this is like the first splash page is, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's like a recurring thing of like a top down shot of Matthew Murdock laying down. Did you notice that?
Now that you mention it.
So like I actually took screenshots because I knew that this was like a thing.
So it's kind of like so a in Wes like the Anderson first
part,
approach.
It's the apocalypse part, and it's a top down of Matt Murdock on his bed, and he's in his sheets and everything. Uh-huh. And then in the next part, it's him in a different situation. So, So all of the different top downs kind of show, they're like a storytelling mechanism of like,
so the where first he's at page is all like just where he ends up. Yep.
The splash page is always like awesome. It's like a top down of like kind of what's going on. And I think it's a really cool storytelling mechanism that Frank Miller or David Mazzucchelli is, I don't know. They're really good. So right now Daredevil's in his house. And he gets up, and I thought this was really funny. He puts on a red robe.
Perfect.
Yeah, just that's very on brand. And another thing.
Just not giving anything away.
He's blind. Why would that even matter that it's a red robe?
why does he have to coordinate
Did
so
he
hard?
Shop for this? Did he have Foggy help him find this red robe? He's like, I need red.
Maybe the dude who made the suit also makes robes.
Maybe, yeah.
Bulletproof robe.
Melvin was also an interesting thing that I want to talk about. But, you know, essentially, he's kind of waking up in his house, getting the mail, and he's kind of finding out that there's a bunch of stuff going on with like his banks and like his house payments and everything.
Very exciting.
But another thing I kind of want to point out in this is that his eyes are completely shaded. You never see his eyes until later in this book.
Do you ever? I mean, I guess you don't really need to.
Because I was looking specifically, and there are certain parts where the inker or David Mazzucchelli or whoever coordinated this effect, I get this storytelling mechanism, like you don't ever see like his pupils, like his eyes are shaded over.
Okay.
And I think it's because he's right now in a bad place in his life where he's not like, you know, he doesn't like what he's doing or believe in the system, and he just lost his job, I think. You know, kind of deal.
So at the end of this arc, there's like an extra issue that Frank Miller mm-hmm. and Dave Mazzucchelli did before.
That's the one I read again. First.
Oh, you did read that first. Yep. Okay, yeah. So their law firm goes in the shitter, mm-hmm. and so that's why he's down the dumps. But I think it was just kind of more like hitting home the whole blind effect Is that?
It's not.
But normally when...
Because I'll show you later.
You see them later.
You see the turning point, and that's when you see his eyes.
When things start turning around.
Yeah, it's okay. Really cool.
For sure.
But continuing on, there's a bunch of... He's having some issues with money, I guess, and he kind of goes to his accountant, and he's like, this is ridiculous. Like, I've paid everything. And so he kind of resorts to his best escape as being Daredevil. And so right now he's basically trying to escape all this and go fight crime. But while this is happening, there's this like Irish lady that used to, you know, bang Daredevil, I guess.
Yeah, his like current girlfriend.
Gloria.
Yeah, she left a voicemail and like breaking up with him. But
so
next couple pages, she's at Foggy's house.
Yes. And her apartment is pretty messed up right now. It got broken into, I guess.
Right. So Foggy, did we say that they had the law firm together?
Yes.
Nelson and Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty shitty on his part.
So
we keep going.
We're also introduced to Ben Urich, who's very much black in the TV show.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that later. I'm like, why does Ben Urich sound like familiar? And yeah. I just kind of looked it up.
He's
like, oh, I love this guy.
He's a great character in this.
Does he die in the show?
Yes.
Spoilers? Okay. I remember being really upset about that because I love looking at the wrinkles on his forehead.
Dude,
and that was like my favorite part of the show.
This guy has no wrinkles on his forehead.
No wrinkles. It's totally miscasted.
So
yeah, and so... We keep going.
Yep. So basically, Foggy is comforting Gloria after her house got broken into and robbed. And so now Gloria's at his house. And, you know, he's comforted her. And now she's taken a liking into him. And he's very embarrassed by it and doesn't want it to happen. But that's something that happens a little bit later. And
right.
So... That's kind of just like a little bit of foreshadowing what's to happen. Meanwhile, Daredevil is beating up this this cop guy. Do you know who this was?
Yeah, he's like a lieutenant or something. He's high up in
on
law enforcement.
Okay.
But I would like to point out, so he breaks in through the dude's window, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in these panels, he's got this little suction cup thing, and then he's got a scalpel just on him. I didn't know Daredevil had this utility belt all of a sudden, but he uses a scalpel to carve out the window.
I don't think that would
work. It up. Yeah, you can't just have that on you when you're flipping around.
Yeah.
You get poked.
So that's how he breaks into this guy's house. I guess that's how he unlocks the window.
I just had to point that out because it had
he's got like a little
it's
sticky
just another
putty
thing. Yeah, he's got this putty thing that acts as a suction cup, and then he pulls it off once he cuts through it.
Yeah,
with his handy dandy scalpel.
Exactly.
It's just another Batman thing, like, oh, where does that fit on his utility belt, kind of thing.
Up his butt.
Up his butt.
The old prison pocket. Another thing I thought was interesting in this is that the caption, like the color of the captions,
change.
They change constantly,
and
it throws me off.
It doesn't even like work. Like normally they'd have different colors, or at least in modern comics, based on who's talking.
Yeah,
so it'd be like,
and that's what I thought the case was, but it like it almost seems like it changes based off the scene
or the page even.
Yeah.
Which yeah, but it'd be the same person talking, and it's kind of hard to like picture that in your head, like the narration,
because
I think even early on in the book I'm like, oh, this is just a narrator, we don't know who it is necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then it transitions.
Yeah, but in old comics there's not like the narrator isn't a character, it's just narrator.
Yeah, it's just,
and so it becomes a little harder to follow, which makes sense as to why that's not really a thing now.
Sure.
So he confronts this cop or whatever, and then he breaks out of the house. It goes to the next day, and the phone is ringing because Matt is phoning up Foggy, and then Gloria answers because Gloria stayed the night, and you know that's just a thing to plant the seed a little bit. Matt didn't necessarily he was calling because he's going to court, I believe.
Yeah, because the reason why he broke into that dude's house is because I guess he's being convicted of something.
Isn't this guy like on Fisk's like radar, or like isn't he
his
like
payroll?
Yeah, his payroll basically. Yeah. So I think he was just trying to clear that up, but Matt Murdock has got to go to court. And then this is when you kind of figure out that Kingpin was sort of behind that. And you kind of see the growth of like his obsession with Daredevil. And I think Daredevil, or I mean Kingpin in this series, is he's displayed as powerful really effectively.
Very.
Just because of the amount of shit he's able to stir up, and he kind of has his hands in like police and like in just in government or in healthcare or, you know, and all these different things. And then he's got like drug dealers all over, and then just like a group of businessmen that he's sort of controlling.
Right. Like at one point they say like if crime's like going well, like the economy in Hell's Kitchen is like better, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty crazy. What's stuck out to me that I thought was really cool is that he just got like a random name in a letter and they're saying like, hey, this is Daredevil. And so he doesn't even like,
he fact checks.
He fact checks. That's what I'm saying. Like he just tests that info and he just fucks with one guy. And then he sees like all these outbursts from Daredevil and like how Daredevil reacts. And so that's how he's able to tell without even like confronting the dude or anything.
It's smart.
It's awesome.
Yep. So then, I believe this is a scene where Daredevil's in court. So this book moves very fast.
Yeah. Which is, I think, is good for comics, especially like when it's like older,
like this is all just in the first issue basically. And like you could turn the page and it's like 6 months have passed. So
right.
In that sense, like that's happened a couple times in this book. It's a little bit jarring, but I kind of like it just so you know that time's going on and like not every issue has to be like a day or whatever.
Right. So he ends up losing his license to practice law or whatever. He gets debarred.
But he's not in jail.
Not in jail.
Because of Foggy. Because
Foggy came through.
Fog was showing his hog. his lawyering hog.
And then there's a page where Karen Page gets shot at because people start to note. Kingpin wants everyone who knew about that. About his identity to be killed.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that had a hand on that envelope that Karen Page originally
sold. Yeah.
Kingpin wants all of them dead.
Exactly.
And so Karen goes back to the person to get another fix. And then you open the door and you find out that he's dead. So, and the person that killed him is still there kind of doing the murdering. And yeah. So that's bad. Karen Page runs and she's like, oh man, I need to find Matt, which... it's a little bit ironic, considering the circumstance. But then, you know, so Matt Murdock's out of court. And so now he's walking back.
Walking home.
And then you see a sweet explosion illustrated by David Mazzucchelli. So his whole house exploded, which I thought was like an apartment building. So did the whole apartment blow up or was it like just a really thin, tall house?
A lot of those like... city areas, it might be just like a really tall kind of house.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be just an apartment building and other people are screwed too.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's when Daredevil catches on and he's like, all right, nothing seemed gangster about any of the stuff that was going on to me previously. You were just framed, but then he knew like where it came from. And then he sees like his uniform or his costume all torn up, which sucks.
Yep, and so that's where he kind of figures out that this is Fisk. And that's the end of the first issue. So there's obviously a lot that happened there.
Nathan, how many pages are in a comic book?
Typically?
Yeah, for 24. 24. This one had like 30.
No, this one had 25.
Ah, they felt so long.
Yeah, there's a lot of heavy dialogue in each one of these.
It's all the narration, really.
Yeah, there's narration on every single one, and that's kind of just old comics.
Because half the time with narration, I feel like nowadays, it's just kind of like not that important, mm-hmm. you know? It's not needed to understand. It's just kind of what, you know, Batman's thinking or whoever's thinking.
Yep. So, starting the next issue, it's Foggy and Gloria in the apartment, or Glory, as they've been calling her. And they receive basically a phone call from Matt and he's been saying some weird stuff because Glory answered and
it's Gloriana.
Gloriana. Was I saying Gloria?
Yeah.
That was just another nickname.
I guess she's Irish or something.
Yeah. Like she talks really funny.
No, she talks pretty normal, but she just says like, yeah, like, are you right?
Well, in the, like the last panel of the first page, She's like, and he didn't make any sense.
That sounds like Italian. You made it sound Italian.
He did not make any sense. And then the splash page. So this is the second development where you see that Matt Murdock, instead of being in a nice comfy bed, he's in a shitty apartment.
Yeah, aerial shot. And he's got, it's like a studio that's just like a dresser and a twin bed.
Yep. So he's in a shitty apartment because of the court case. Can't practice law, so he doesn't have a job. And then his like account's frozen because of the bank. And this is all happening because of Kingpin. So this is just kind of him. He's recovering and sort of staying in this apartment. He's only got like $10 to his name. And just kind of going a little bit psychotic. He thinks he hears Kingpin coming up at one point. He makes a lot of fat jokes. Do you remember that?
What'd you say? Oh.
So like, I'm trying to find it specifically.
He'd make a good punching bag. He's fat enough.
It's like not he like even really good. Lays in. And he like says it more. I just thought it was really funny, like just fat jokes like to Kingpin.
Yeah,
like,
that seems
pretty obvious.
Yeah, he's losing it. He's having all these like delusions. And he, as he's like leaving this room, he like beats up just the dude coming to
collect rent.
Yeah, collect the rent for the next day.
Maybe this is this like a motel, do you think?
Yeah, it's gotta be.
It's not like an apartment. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, he's just like, yeah, Kingpin, make a good punching bag. And then he has this fantasy where he kills him, but that's not typically what he does. So he kind of knows that he's going a little bit psychotic and he doesn't really know what's going on. Person comes to collect the payment for the motel and he ends up choking him. Because he's a little bit loose right now. And then he leaves to go get something to eat or something. But then we transition into what Kingpin's up to. And apparently the way that he works out is he wears only underwear. And he is able to just do crazy reps of like pole bar. I don't know. What would you even call this?
It looks like he's doing a military shoulder press with about 400 pounds, which is unreal.
Yep. So he's just casually doing that while...
you know, if I had my own gym, I would definitely just wear underwear. You can see like everything that you're working. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I would want to in Kingpin's case because he's got a belly, dude.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, like...
He's very confident.
He's got like... I like to call it like the gorilla belly where like you're buff, but you still got like a big belly.
Well, I thought the gorilla belly was like where you have like a six pack, but it like sticks out still.
Maybe that's what it is.
I think so. I don't know. I get what you're trying to say. Yeah,
he's super buff. And this is where you can kind of see like his musculature. And we know that like he's a big guy, but there's still like muscles that fill him out. It's not just like he's not like blob, you know?
Yeah.
So he's working out and Kingpin's assistant. What's his name? Like Wesley?
Wesley. I forgot about that dude.
Yeah, he's in the show too.
I think he's killed like the second season. But I remember him being really cool. He's not the same in the books. He's a lot more badass in the show, obviously.
Yeah.
He's like the dark and gloomy Netflix series. He's just kind of like a dork that's trying not to get killed by Kingpin.
So he's basically reporting everything that's happening in this subway that Matt Murdock is in. And... kind of it's really cool because it's reporting the way that Matt Murdock just kind of isn't caring as much right now. Like there's a fight that breaks out in the subway and Matt Murdock's just sitting there. There's like some beads that get stolen off an old woman and that's
he's not intervening by these people that are basically like beating up and robbing this people on the subway,
and he doesn't intervene until a gun's physically pointed at his face,
right?
And that's when he starts to go a little bit crazy. He hurts them a lot more. He breaks, you know, people's heads on glass and then even attacks a cop, which is not something that he would normally do either.
Yeah. The cop like comes in once the door's open and then he like hits him with like the billy stick or whatever.
Yep. So we know that there's a screw loose.
Yeah. I wrote down here Daredevil losing it.
Yep.
Because, yeah, it's just like the dialogue, too. You can tell he's like kind of on edge.
There's also, you see Jameson for the first time, which I didn't expect.
Oh, I love J. Jonah that. Jameson.
I thought like, that was cool.
They said like Jameson. I'm like,
Ben Urich is reporting to J. Jonah Jameson, which is nice.
So I guess he works at the Daily Bugle. Is that where they work in the show? It's something else, right? It's like a different...
I want to say it's something else. But
it's got to be.
I don't know for sure.
That'd be so cool, though.
So then we find out that Karen Page is getting hunted. That's a thing. And then Matt Murdock shows up at Kingpin's place. Apparently mid-workout because he's still in his underwear. Mm-hmm. And he's just fighting him.
Did you see Daredevil come in with his... Oh, no, that's his... I was like, "What's? Why does he have that stick?" But that's like the blind thing, the blind people...
Oh, that's just like his walking stick.
Walking stick, yeah.
So, yep, so they're fighting.
He whacks him in the belly.
He whacks him in the belly. Yeah. Seems to...
Make him a little self-conscious.
Yep, and then...
Get in his head.
He also wails him in the nose, gives him a bloody nose, so he gets a good hit.
I love some of the blood splatter on this. Dude, it's not like...
The blood's gnarly.
It's not like... anything new, but just because everything is so bright in like the 80s, just seeing something like that.
Yeah, the colors, all of them really pop, and they're very clever uses a lot of the time.
Yeah, there's like a lot of like white background
on,
in here.
On
which
any
makes,
panel, there's only like four or five colors.
You know? The palette is definitely diluted a little bit, just a couple things that they use.
So Matt Murdock ends up getting beat up finally because he's just... getting pounded by Kingpin, and that kind of shows how powerful he is. You know, Matt obviously has a screw loose a little bit, so maybe he's not in the best frame of mind. He hasn't really been eating, which was established in his shitty motel, but he gets beaten up. He's on the ground, he's knocked unconscious, and then they attempt to fake his death. So basically they put him into a cab and they try and frame it as if he like took over the cab driver, I guess, and then drove off a bridge to then die.
But I think they tried to make it to where he just beat the shit out of the taxi driver and they drove off a bridge, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And that's how they try and frame him as being dead, but
then he gets out.
He's not.
And then end of issue. So
that's end of part two.
Then we get a sweet Christmas issue.
Yep. Gotta love a Christmas issue.
It says April on there, but you know, Christmas issue. That's always a couple months ahead, right? When they have it next to the...
I don't know.
I always look for it for some reason.
I don't think if it came out today,
it might say like June or something.
I don't think Frank Miller really cares like what what time of the... It could be summer and he's writing a Christmas issue.
Marvel might. Kind of a tangent. Have you ever read anything by Frank Miller?
DKR.
Right. He's kind of like one of the greats. He's been around for a while. Everything is 100% with everybody, but...
No. I read All-Star Batman and Robin, I believe, was Frank Miller and Jim Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I've read recently Superman Year One.
Oh, okay,
the
yeah.
The Black Label book.
That's a newer one.
With John
J.R.
Romita.
J.R.
Yep, J.R. J.R.
I read Sin City about a year ago.
I haven't touched Sin City yet.
It's cool. It works. I was kind of expecting it to be a bit darker, more like that. Mm-hmm. This book specifically, but
yeah,
it works really well.
I think this one's
it doesn't sound like Frank Miller. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's him losing his edge or anything. I think that's him just fitting the character.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Yeah. And I think he does it really well because he really establishes like his thoughts and what he's hearing and all that stuff. So this issue, he's very much, I guess this is like a flashback issue that's kind of explaining what happened to him as a kid with him saving a person from a truck, getting his powers. But what's really cool about this is that he's having like a dream about when he first got his powers. And so there's a lot of panels that are just black. And as he sort of starts to get control of his senses, you see like just big words and like big font as like the panels.
Yeah. So you kind of get to see from his point of view.
So like, that's communicated that like this might be normal, like someone normal talking to him, but to him it's just super loud. And then he's kind of just like getting control of that basically, and just how he's in total agony. And there's a bunch of like children screaming and, you know, cars that are honking, stuff like that. The New York stuff.
What is his like hair color canonically?
Ginger.
Yeah. So he's like blonde in the past. And I guess
he's not blonde here. I feel like this is just like a
strawberry blonde.
Yeah. His eyebrows are black.
He seems like a bit older, like a teenager. I don't know if that's super like set in stone, in like scene? How old he was. Yeah, the flashback.
Well, no. So right now, each page starts with like a really long like vertical panel, and it's him sleeping, but he's actually, it's actually him sleeping on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just recovered from whatever was happening, which brings me to the third part of the top-down shots where he's now homeless, basically
sleeping in the trash
and sleeping whatever. In the trash. And so this is just like the pinnacle of his like rock bottom. Two issues ago, he's sleeping in a nice bed, but now he's on the streets.
Do you notice the bottom of this page where he's like warm lips kissing my forehead, and then he like he feels like a cross, like. Mm-hmm. That they come back to that. I didn't notice that.
Yep.
Just kind of going over it again.
Yep. So he's in the trash. He's homeless. Bunch of stuff happening. Meanwhile, Foggy and what was her name?
Glory.
We'll just go with Glory. So him and Glory are doing stuff.
Christmas shopping.
Christmas shopping. I guess it's Christmas Eve. So, you know, I've been there.
Holiday issue, you know.
Glory almost gets robbed, but then Foggy hits him with a bowling ball, which is kind of because
he just had that.
He had that as a gift for someone, which I feel like would be really annoying to carry around.
Yeah, and he along with other things.
Yep.
And then Yurik, I keep thinking he's like Commissioner Gordon, just kind of like how he's drawn with the glasses and the gray hair.
I guess it's petticoat. Almost like that. Yeah.
But he visits that lieutenant or whatever that. Was beat up, or was he beat up by Daredevil? Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So he's in the hospital.
And he wants to believe that Matt didn't do it, because I guess, does he know his or Daredevil's identity at this point?
Yeah, because he's got to frame him and, like, convict him of whatever
mm-hmm.
that made him lose his lot. Oh, yeah, so his son is, got some cancer, cardiac problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically his motivation. That's the pull that Kingpin has over him.
Yep. Another one of the ongoing storylines is Karen's trying to get back to Daredevil or to Matt. And she's still trying to get fixes and tries to steal from like homeless people and stuff. So she's really on rock bottom as well. Meanwhile, Matt's sort of stumbling along. Kind of going through the streets. I think he's a little bit jarred from what happened, so he's trying to like recover.
Walking through oncoming traffic, gets hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Total blind guy thing to do.
And then he gets jumped by... Oh, no. So there are some muggers that are jumping a Santa to try and get money, which I think is pretty good. but then Daredevil comes in for the save. But during this interaction, he gets stabbed by Santa, which is classic.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas
issue.
Yep. That's just your classic Christmas-themed issue.
And did it come around that they are connected to Kingpin? I can't remember.
Yes, I believe that they are.
Okay.
I think every mugger that we kind of see is connected to Kingpin.
Right. And there's this manly nurse that's just like in there with Yurik and that...
And the lieutenant dude.
And he's like seeing them talking and... he's obviously under
it's Kingpin's. Like the Kingpin of nurses,
right? That's perfect.
Yep. So we kind of know that there's somebody on the inside for the hospital, and she seems a little bit pissed. We see Karen is sort of tied up with this dude that's very abusive, but is getting her fixes.
He's like protecting her, and then is hit her way to get back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
This book definitely jumps around the different so scenes much. That are going on. Like there, it goes from like Yurik to Matt for like two panels and, Karen for two panels, which is like good for reading, but just like us explaining right now.
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's right, just a big jumble mess. All right. Yep. So, Matt, it's right here. All right. Now we're back to Foggy. All right. This is the same page. Yeah. That's definitely not something that really happens much in modern comics. It's mainly like this page is the Daredevil page.
Like
and then the next page is the Karen page, you know.
Right.
But this one, it's like, even on this page that I'm on, it's Foggy and Gloria, and then it's Matt on the next panel, and then it's the hospital nurse on the next. So, like, all these ongoing storylines are just jumbled together.
Right.
So, I guess we're going to try and... just generalize it, but there is a lot going on. It's very dynamic storytelling, and I think it's told really well. It's just dense.
Mm-hmm.
So we find Matt's sort of making his way to the gym, but before he actually gets there, so that kingpin nurse is actually going and killing that lieutenant dude and breaking Ben Urich's fingers as sort of like a message. Did he end up killing that guy? Or just beating him up?
Just beating him up. He gets close.
He gets beat up more, and Ben Urich just has his fingers broken, mm-hmm. I think. And then Matt Murdock's at the gym, so he's trying to gain his strength back up until he ends up collapsing, and then he gets sort of swooped up by the nun chick, or however you would say that.
The sister?
The sister, yes. Yep, and so that's the end of that issue. What a mess.
So he comes across like the old gym there where his dad used to train or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then just collapses on the bag
to get picked up.
And here comes sister. So this is reminiscent of like the end of like the Defenders, where the show where the building collapses on him and somehow he's alive and then ends up in like her care again.
Yeah. Yep. So I think Born Again a lot, it's kind of split up throughout the show, but I think mainly it was like season 3 because
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of like the sister stuff is happening. They kind of blend in a lot of Frank Miller stories because in this story, he's not in the like beanie mask with like the bandages around his fists.
Is that a Frank Miller thing?
That's a Frank Miller thing.
Oh, dope.
Yep. So
that'd be cool to get into.
But he never does that here. So I think the show kind of just takes a lot of inspiration from a bunch of Frank Miller stuff.
Was his run very long? Frank Miller's on Daredevil?
I don't know if it was continuous. I'm pretty sure it was just like a bunch of like stories that he had sort of set up. Because beyond this, there's like other ones.
No, he does it. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because like, he does the Elektra stuff. And mm-hmm. then I know he definitely does more Daredevil. Okay, mm-hmm. for sure.
So next issue, the next sort of top down is him now on a church bed
mm-hmm.
with a bunch of nuns and sisters, I guess, taking care of him. So he's in that. Karen Page is still trying to make his way. She's in a bad situation. I think we're going to try and pick it up just to keep things going. We're at 37 minutes right now.
Yeah. Foggy gets a job. Yay. Yep.
Foggy's got a job. Because he also lost his job.
Karen Page gets to Penn Station, so she's in, I think that's in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Kingpin looking definitely like a baby.
Yep, Kingpin beats up a bunch of guys, no problem.
I just kept thinking about outfit. Like how he looks in Into the Spider-Verse, where he's just insanely wide, mm-hmm. and he's just a big old box.
Yeah, that one.
That was definitely
exaggerating
like how big he is.
I think they based that off of Bill Sienkiewicz when he was on Daredevil, because that's like exactly what he looked like.
Okay.
What, like, was so
who's
big.
Writing?
I can't remember who it was that was writing at the time.
That'd be fun,
but yeah,
just to look at.
Yeah, Bill Sienkiewicz is awesome. I think that's how you say his name.
Okay,
so continuing on, he's Matt Murdock is still recovering. He's hearing all of the New York traffic again, kind of taken back to when he was a child.
Tries to get up,
and he's not ready yet. So his the nun sister person makes him stay down.
Tells him he's dumb. Karen's like calling Foggy because she's trying to find Matt, aka Daredevil. And then there's another sweet blind scene with Jameson and Urich.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about how Jameson saying to still
go after the story,
and then his wife saying not to go after the story.
Yep. So we're kind of just in a bunch of recovery. There's a really cool scene where Ben Urich's on the phone trying to talk to the lieutenant that got beaten up by the nurse.
Yes.
There's obviously a lot of stuff happening. They're trying to submit a paper in the next couple of minutes, but Ben's on the phone. But the lieutenant guy is ready to tell him that
about to confess
confess that Kingpin framed Matt Murdock for everything that happened and is happening to him right now.
I love these pages because it goes from Ben on the phone because he doesn't want to pursue the story, and so they just put him on something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets a call from him, and it just keeps going from like the hospital bed to his office, and they're trying to get him to finish up his story or whatever.
Yep.
And it just progresses how the nurse like comes in the his room and just like chokes him out.
Yep.
And while he's on the phone, and then she like makes him listen to it.
Yep.
And just his face, it gets like closer and closer and redder and redder.
Mm-hmm.
How he's just mortified of what he's listening to.
Yep. And he's very shocked about what's going on, but everybody's still kind of harassing him to get off the phone and submit his piece or whatever for that newspaper. But while that's happening, he's listening to the nurse Kingpin lady choke this guy out.
Really, you could like almost hear these panels
because
of how busy it is in the background, like how this guy's choking and how like just the music, you know, if it was a show, to just build up and get mm-hmm. louder and louder.
Yeah, it feels really intense. And then the coloring really shines through, I think, on this issue. The coloring is great on all the issues, but at this part, Ben is turning more and more of like a deep red to mm-hmm. just demonstrate his horror in this. So I think that's really cool.
Right.
So yep, now that guy's dead. Ben just, you know, heard a murder. And the nurse that's on Kingpin's payroll says, "I thank you for listening, Mr. Yurik." So that's very sinister. I think that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
so coming back to that cross thing, like Matt like feels the cross and like notices that someone is there from when he got into that accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same cross, and I guess it smells the same and whatnot.
He remembers that it's a gold cross, and I guess she didn't lose it at all. That's impressive more than anything.
I lose every piece of jewelry I have.
Like immediately.
Or breaks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So that's some real shit.
So Foggy meets up with Karen. They go to a restaurant or whatever. You know, Kingpin thinks, oh, he snaps and the phone's brought to him. That's pretty gangster.
Yeah, that's the most gangster thing that you can do. So basically, it's kind of just jumping back and forth. Ben Yurik is very mortified about what he heard. He's still like getting flashbacks from it and hearing it and talking about what he heard. But we see a reunion of Karen Page and Foggy. Is that what you just mentioned?
Yeah. And so that just kind of progresses and how she's so just explaining herself.
She's in New York. She escapes the abusive boyfriend to get there. Right. And then Foggy finds out about it and tries to sort of save her from the situation. So that's really nice. So Foggy's just a good guy in general. Kind of going through. It kind of goes, but this is the scene where you finally see him. His eyes for the first time. So he's recovered now. It's been a couple weeks or months or whatever. And I think this is a storytelling mechanism because you haven't seen his pupils this whole time. He's either been asleep or there's been shading over his eyes. But now at the end of this issue, he's talking to the nun that's been sort of taking care of him. And he asks him, "Are you my mother?" And she says, "Of course not, child." But this is kind of like, I think, a way to symbolize that he's kind of on the up and up. Like, this is kind of like a turning point for him where he's recovering on this
right.
On this church bed.
There's no way that's an accident. So that was super intentional.
Yep. Yep. Because the only reason I noticed is that it seemed very intentional in the beginning when he's walking around in his red robe.
Uh-huh.
Like, why don't I see his eyes right now?
Right. And so he like hears or feels her heart jump, and so he knows that she's lying.
Yep.
And that's brought up in the show as well. It's definitely dragged out a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't
really cover on it again.
Yeah,
it's probably something in future issues.
Just a cool cliffhanger.
Most definitely. Yeah,
makes you want to come back to buy 231 mm-hmm. in case you're thinking about dropping it.
Yeah, at this point. So then going into the next issue, just in generalities, Kingpin's doing Kingpin stuff. Matt Murdock is punching a punching bag, and he's able to punch it off of the chain. That's a really great trope as well. That's one of my favorites. But this is also, you know, the next part of the top-down shots. Rather than him being on a bed or laying down or asleep in some way, now he is standing over this punching bag. He's clearly gotten his strength back. So
this is a cool cover, or it's not even a cover. It's like
it's one just of those, a splash page.
Yeah, a splash page. Like this could be like a Sports Illustrated.
It does look like cover. That, doesn't it? Yeah, because it's got like saved as like the name of this issue, but
can
it's
you
like
imagine
behind him.
I know they still kind of do this, but just naming every issue, like
that would suck, dude.
Like just Born Again would probably take a long time to come up with.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of keep going here. Kingpin gets reported on for the Daily Bugle, and so he's kind of frustrated about that. Matt Murdock also reads the paper, but essentially,
so this is written by Ben.
Yes. So the whole
so there's a target on his article, head now.
Yep. It says The Kingpin of Crime, a 6-part series by Ben Urich.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's all around New York now, and that clearly gets heard by Kingpin, and so he sends the Kingpin nurse lady actually to Ben Urich's house, and the only person that's there at that point is his wife. But luckily, Ben Urich comes back just as all that's happening. He lets himself in, and he hears something going on in the next room, but then he also gets kneed by the nurse lady, and she's just cleaning up, just beating everybody up. And then you find that Ben's wife is getting hanged by a tie in the bathroom. So it's pretty dark. Hung?
Hanged?
She's getting hanged.
So he's also appointed like his bodyguard, I guess, for the next couple days.
Yep. He's there as well, getting beat up.
What's dumb is that they're, before this, they're at a diner, I think the only diner in this issue, and he's on the phone with his wife. And then while he's on the phone, there's a knock, and then nurse is at the door like, oh, it's about your husband. I'm like, you were just on the phone with your husband.
Exactly.
Do not be that dumb.
Yeah, that's why I thought that was going to be like a storytelling thing. Like
if it was like 30 minutes later, that's one thing.
Yeah, but literally the scene goes, he's in the diner on the phone with his wife. She is literally still talking to him when there's knocks on the door, and sees a nurse lady. Then on the next page, he's gone back and he's like, oh, my wife will, you know, I've had to get her to lock the door because she's a nice, you know,
she's from Iowa, or
from Idaho or something.
Oh,
and she trusts everybody. But then he goes in and like, I guess all that stuff is now just happening. So the diner must be like downstairs.
Yeah.
So,
or I think the nurse is like by the door. So she must have been waiting, or some time has passed because she's got her up.
So then
to the shower head.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what how all the timeline worked here.
Doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, doesn't, but it's just
so
a funny thing to point out.
The nurse is fighting the bodyguard, and then
Ben's trying to save his wife in the background.
Thank goodness his straight razor's out.
To
cut the tie or whatever.
The noose. But then you find that Matt Murdock is here, not in costume, just in his hobo outfit.
He was following him since...
He beats up the nurse and then leaves before Ben Urich even knows what happened. But...
Yeah, got her handcuffed.
Nurse is handcuffed and all that. So he's like, Matt Murdock's alive.
I guess we brushed over the part where they went to go visit Melvin, the dude that created the Daredevil outfit.
Yep.
And so... he saw the story that Ben wrote and then called him saying like, oh, you got to talk to me now. Cause they asked him to make them like a Daredevil costume.
Yeah. We didn't skip over it. It's just the next scene. It's on that page that you were just on. Cause he hears the ringing. Nope. Go back.
Wait, right the call.
The call's
yeah.
happening right
no,
there.
No, but the point where they confront him to have him make the suit.
Oh yeah. We did skip over that.
Right.
So they're trying to have him make an identical Daredevil suit so that Daredevil can get framed, I guess. I don't know what the intention is.
And so Daredevil was there when he took the call. He's just outside the door and he hears him. He knows who it is. And then he goes to Melvin's house or his shop.
Yep. This is where we first see, you know, Kingpin trying to recruit somebody to take on the suit. So we see he basically hires a psycho to put on the suit that Melvin's going to create for him, basically.
He gets someone like a serial killer, like get released in order to do this job or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And this is all just in spite of Matt Murdock. Like, this isn't like the smartest thing for Kingpin to be doing if he wants to continue being a Kingpin.
Why do you say that?
I think it just is made very clear that like this is a vendetta that Kingpin is on. And he's just kind of getting this like obsession for Matt Murdock throughout the series.
So I guess it's not, I guess it makes sense just because it's the person who interferes mm-hmm. with all this business and whatnot and is literally like his only enemy.
Yeah.
So
that's just the person that he hasn't been able to kill. And so he's got like this own kingpin obsession about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, continuing on, Karen's still at Foggy's house. She sees the person that's been sort of abusing her and protecting her at the like same her time.
Boyfriend or whatever.
Yep. And so they kind of freak out, but it's also been coordinated that Kingpin's goons are there at the same time. But then it's also been coordinated that the police are there. And so there's all this stuff happening. There's a big gunfight that happens, where the abuser's trying to get to Karen. Kingpin's goons are staying there watching what happens with the cops. And then as soon as Murdoch and Karen leave the house, the Kingpin goons go after him. But at the same time, now the psycho is also part of the situation.
He's dressed up as Daredevil, and his job is to go kill Karen, basically.
Yep. So all of that's happening. Karen Page knocks out Foggy with a plant pot.
To try and save him, I guess.
Save him. That's very dangerous. She could have killed him.
Yeah, because the dude only wanted her, I guess. Yeah. Then the not Daredevil tries to break in through the roof. It was supposed to be unlocked. And then the actual Daredevil kicks through the door, which is pretty cool.
Yep. Matt Murdock kicks him Matt Murdock. So they're fighting on the roof right now. And then we see that. What is it? What is that abuser's dude even name? Paulo. Paulo is the bad guy. Paulo
kills the cops that show up. And then the goons that are watching the thing go down start shooting at him.
Mm-hmm. And then Daredevil bests this goon guy, or the serial killer. He's knocked out, and then Daredevil's like, "Oh, well, I guess this fits me." So he just puts on the Daredevil suit.
He's got these.
Or no, he doesn't put it on.
He's got these sweet punches that are just like his index and middle finger.
Oh
like,
yeah,
he like gets
all the time, like in the neck,
in like the wrist. It was just like a pressure point, I guess, and then like,
yeah,
in the throat. And the dude's like,
"Yep, he's choking. An impressive fighter. He knows like pressure points and stuff like that." So he always goes for those.
Pretty helpful.
And then there's a really cool build up where, after he killed the serial killer, he's going to save Karen, and he ends up stopping Paulo from shooting Karen. He stops the goons from shooting Paulo by like dropping like icicles on him and throwing his baton. And there's like a lot of panels that are like showing all this happening at once. And then the next page is Karen and Matt Murdock being reunited in the scene of the issue. So a lot of shit happened there. And then just kind of it got recapped by Ben Urich to get reported on
all the deaths and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And so now onto the next issue. We see Duke for the first time.
Is it Nuke?
Or sorry, Nuke.
He's still in Batman mode.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Have you seen Nuke before?
Yeah. Oh, I've known of him. Nuke is, I believe, in the Jessica Jones series, actually.
Okay.
He's the guy that gets like drugged up, basically, in the show. So Nuke
he's in the show.
He's in Jessica Jones, yeah. He's the one that was like...
I just watched the first season.
Hellcat's... boyfriend. I think it may have been second season.
Okay. So I've only seen him in Old Man Logan. I guess he's just got a small part. It's just one of the people that are still alive.
I don't remember.
And starts like fucking with Wolverine. Because I remember like the American flag. Just mm-hmm. It's just an American flag painted on his face. But this is a really cool representation of him. I've never seen it, so this is all I have.
Like, I'm very confused about this character.
He's got red, white, and blue pills. Do you know how those work?
The red ones make him go crazy.
Okay.
I don't know what the other ones do.
Yeah, they also enhance him somehow.
He's got this American flag painting on his face.
Who does
that? Is it him? Is he doing all these stars? Because they're phenomenal.
They're great stars. It could be a tattoo like a stamp or something. But he like... Right before he does something, he's like, "Our boys."
Yeah, he's going for the boys.
I can't let our boys down.
I'm like, I relate with this guy.
Like, just the most American character.
Like, he jumps out of a helicopter and says, "Our boys." So, you know, I relate with this guy.
Like, he's just on some random mission. He's just on some random mission in, what, like, Nicaragua. And he's like, "Our boys.
Our boys." Can't let our boys down.
He's not even saving anybody.
No, he's just killing people. There's no saying boys.
Our boys.
I mean, I'd kill people for my boys. Yeah, so he has a red, white, and blue pill. I don't really know. It's not really established here what they really do.
And the helicopter dude is the one that hands him the pills. He just doesn't have them.
One of his boys, like I guess, is the helicopter guy, and he comes in a little bit later.
He should have a little Pez dispenser on his belt to get all the pills as he needs them.
I agree.
I guess I got to limit him.
This isn't the best situation.
He's got a big gun named Betsy.
Kingpin's like, well, my last serial killer didn't work. Let me get this guy.
Yeah, this guy's contract killer.
This guy's doing real good for himself, protecting the boys.
Mm-hmm. I think the white pill is coming down because he gets one later and then he goes to New York.
It might be. You might be right. So then we get a little rehash. Matt Murdock takes back Karen just immediately. There's no consequence for what Karen did. There's no confrontation. He just takes her back.
Yeah, he's like,
I was hoping I've
lost nothing.
I was hoping for a little bit more of meat there because he did lose a lot, I feel like.
Lost everything.
There's a couple dead people now because of Karen. Like, she did some really bad shit.
Right.
Just for a fix.
Right, yeah. So, and, like, the whole, like, oh, you use tons of drugs now. That's not a deal breaker.
Yeah, exactly. So,
definitely a first date question.
It's definitely interesting to find that Matt Murdock is a simp. and we'll just take back a druggie.
Oh, so whipped.
Yeah, absolutely. Continuing on, Ben Yurick gets connected with Foggy. They both try and team up together to take down Kingpin. Gloriana.
Say the short version or say it right.
Sorry, you're right. Glory is doing her stuff. She's a photographer.
So Nuke is like on the plane with his helicopter dude and he gets like a blue pill and he asked for a specific American beer on his plane.
I'm like, I relate with that too.
He's like, hey, we don't have the brand you asked for, but we have this other one. She's like, where's the beer brewed?
This brand, where's it brewed? And then his boy's like, it's from Milwaukee. You're good. It's American. He's like, oh.
Don't worry, boy. Okay. It's American. He's like, all right.
I relate to that too. So this is by far the most relatable character so far.
Right. Who's Daredevil again?
Yeah. Some more Kingpin stuff is going on, of course. Daredevil shaves. So that's kind of a representation. He's getting his shit back together.
Mm-hmm.
Karen's living with him now. I don't know where they're at. The church, I guess? The basement church?
There's skylights, so I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Doesn't matter.
They're somewhere. They're together. It's lame. So then Ben Yurick and Glory and a cop. And some other people.
So the bodyguard. There's the security guard that works at the jail or whatever. And then some other
dude I don't really know if they're talking cop. To.
I think they chase into the cop. They talk to the nurse. Like
correct.
Like the dude nurse.
It's not a dude.
But it looks like it. Okay.
She's built, basically.
The Jax nurse.
And so there's an interesting scene here where this extra dude,
I'll let you describe what happens here. It's awesome.
It is awesome. So this extra dude pulls out a gun and is going to and kills the nurse because she's spilling up information. So he shoots nurse, bodyguard or
security guard.
Security guard shoots bodyguard. Bodyguard shoots cop.
Security guard.
Again. Security guard. I'm not very good at this.
And then
and meanwhile all of this is happening. Ben Yurick takes down the first guy that shot, and while this is happening, Glory is just taking
every gunshot. There's a click. She got a picture of it. These pictures.
She's really good. Like, she must have known. Like all this was happening.
I think Yurick's like, take pictures of everything because she got hired.
Yeah, probably. But she's not fazed by all this happening.
Then Yurick takes down the extra cop. Takes like the. The handle the gun, beats the shit out of the extra cop.
Pistol whips him to death.
So everyone's dead except for them.
Everybody's dead except Ben and Glory.
Pretty exciting.
That was pretty cool. Kingpin was probably behind that. Then we see Nuke.
Yeah, he was.
I figured.
Cause he's
that was communicated.
Yeah. And then we got a pep talk with Nuke and Kingpin. Kingpin's all like patriotic all of a sudden.
Yep. And he's like, you know what's really ruining America? Hell's Kitchen. And he's like, you need to find Matt Murdock and kill him. And so now Nuke is on his way to Hell's Kitchen. Meanwhile, Matt's being a pretty good guy, cooking things, you know, getting his life back together from what it seems like.
He like works at that shitty diner that keeps popping
up. Is that
his
like job now?
Yeah. And I guess he, with his powers, he's able to cook like the perfect burger somehow.
Dude.
And like the diner's
one of the things you don't think about. Like, he'd probably be a really good doctor if he studied like.
Yes, he would. But like, I get that because he can hear heartbeats or whatever. But the perfect burger, like what? It's got to sizzle the right way, or you can tell how rare it is. So it brings this diner back. It gets hella popular.
He could be the best chef.
Right. But he's just working at a shitty diner.
Missed opportunity. Chip Zdarsky, you better do that with your current run.
Ooh.
So then walks out of the diner. Nuke's there with this helicopter boy. Starts creating a huge ruckus. Shooting everybody. Shooting rockets. Matt Murdock is about 3 blocks away, but obviously he hears everything that's going on. So I guess Nuke is just shooting whatever. In Hell's Kitchen.
He's got a rocket launcher too.
He's killing a bunch of people. So Matt's running there. I guess he just so happens to shoot a rocket at Matt's new house or apartment or whatever it is. I don't know if that was on purpose, but Karen's okay.
I think so.
Like, did he target
his
specific house? It's a little unclear. But
maybe he's just lucky.
He's just going on a rampage. I think kind of just destroying everything in sight.
Okay.
So, Karen Page is okay. She went to go find Daredevil's suit. They kiss. I still don't like them together.
It's just not right.
Nope. Doesn't
She's
feel
self-destructive.
Right.
Destructive.
Yep.
It's no go for him. It didn't work the first time. Don't reignite the flame.
Yep.
Anyway, more shooting, more exploding. Daredevil comes.
Daredevil comes.
Hits Nuke in the head.
He's got a sweet shot of him with a bunch of fire and explosions behind him. I think this is a pretty famous Daredevil shot.
I've never seen it personally, but...
I think if you like... You could probably like Google Daredevil.
Okay.
Probably see this Daredevil comic or something and see this. But basically, it's Daredevil. He's in a suit. He's all good to go. There's a bunch of fire behind him. He's ready to fight. So then we go on to the last issue. And we got to speed through it because we're about an hour.
Is this the last issue?
I think so. Well, then there's the one that was technically before all this.
We'll skip that.
Yeah.
It's not like a part of...
You just get to know Melvin Potter.
Who's that? Oh, yeah. The suit dude.
Suit guy.
Okay.
So then we continue with the destruction. He's doing it for the boys. And
Norkin, it's a Nuke and Daredevil fight. And then also the helicopter dude shooting at them.
Yep. So he's got to worry about that. Your basic fight scene... I mean, he tries to go for the eyes. He tries to go for these nerve endings and nothing's really working. And you kind of find out that he doesn't really feel anything. And so he doesn't really feel pain.
So he's
trying to be very strategic about how he goes about this.
He's kind of like the next generation of super soldier, I guess, after Captain America.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Which is what you find out later.
I think. Okay. Yeah.
So they're fighting. There's a lot of exploding. He throws them. He decides to, you know, just kill him because this all has to stop. So he throws him off of a building, but of course he still survives. But by happenstance, Glory and Foggy are there. And Glory is just clicking it up with their camera, taking pictures of everything that's happening, even though it's extremely dangerous. There's a falling man. The gun's pointed at her.
And
as he's
film
falling.
Is so expensive at this point.
Exactly. You can't be... She's probably got to spend like $20 at this time.
For that day.
For that day. All these clicks.
Mm-hmm.
But... She's dedicated, so I respect it. So he lands on a car. Daredevil jumps on him.
And then the car explodes. Nuke is on fire. He still says, our boys.
Our boys.
I love that
That's my
that
dedication
shit.
For the boys. I guess he just means like the boys of the...
He means like veterans.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So he's obviously a little delusional, but just doing it for the boys. It's so funny how that is just a meme now. But so they still continue to fight. The guy in the helicopter still continues to shoot. But Daredevil takes Nuke's gun, shoots at the helicopter, and explodes him.
Explodes him.
That's the best way I can describe it.
Blows him up?
I wish it worked like that because the Warzone game would be a lot easier.
Oh, easily.
Yep, so he's all blown up.
And then Glory gets shot in the back because of the helicopter. And then...
Yep, she does get shot.
And then out of nowhere, she's picked up by Captain America. And then Thor
So
it makes it rain.
I want to
put out fires.
I think Frank Miller's cap is probably one of the best caps. Just
what design?
No, just
or how he's portrayed.
Just the way that he's portrayed, because he's really like shown as like the leader of the Avengers here. So basically, the Avengers show up obviously because New York's getting like exploded, so it kind of makes sense that they would be here. But after Gloria gets shot, Cap picks him up and says, "This one's been shot, medic over here." And then he leads the Avengers. So he's like, "Put those fires out. We don't want a gas main going up." But then just the way that Frank Miller describes it, he says, "A soldier with a voice that could command a god," and he does. And then it shows Thor creating like a, I don't know, like a rainstorm. Suddenly it's raining and everybody who can falls silent. Like just the his leadership here, I think, is really powerful. And the way that he writes him in the rest is great. So Iron Man's there as well. Iron Man's like, this is our thing now. This is like a federal, like really bad thing. And so he tells him to stand back. And so the Avengers take him.
So. This is interesting. Iron Man as well. I'm not sure if it's like canonically correct, like wherever it is, wherever he was and was looking at the time.
I don't know.
But it's pretty cool. It's not just like, you know, picture Iron Man. It's not like that suit.
Yeah. So basically the Avengers take him. There's a really interesting scene. Like there's a really interesting, I guess, balance here with Cap and Nuke, because they're both soldiers, but they're obviously very different in the way that they approach things, and that's it's touched on later.
That reminds me of you remember Civil War, the book where Cap got really mad at the Punisher because he was like killing people, and then like he starts fighting the Punisher. Punisher's like wouldn't fight back because of like it's you, like it's Captain America. So they're both like super patriotic but handle things differently.
Yep, it's interesting. There's a spa scene with all the business boys, and so they're all naked talking about business
and how it was super reckless that Kingpin, you know, let him destroy like that block or whatever. Yep.
And then the guy makes the mistake to mention Kingpin's wife, which has obviously always been like a sore subject. So he kills him.
Yeah, just chokes him out.
Classic.
Naked.
Then we find there's a bunch of people in the church now that are just being sort of taken care of and hospitalized. Mm-hmm. So Daredevil meets up with Captain America again. It kind of becomes like a Captain America book for a little bit. You know,
right?
There's a lot of them in here.
I did not think this was going to tie in with like anything else.
Me neither.
It still kind of works and is still self-contained. Like that, you don't have to know anything that was happening at this time to get what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Daredevil feels movement or whatever, and then follows it and ends up being Cap, and then tries to figure out who Nuke is.
Mm-hmm. And then we see Cap go to the general, and he's like, "What the hell is all this?" And so obviously the general is also under Kingpin's sort of hand, which is interesting because normally you think Kingpin just wants New York, but he's also got these like generals and like really big officials under him. So that kind of just demonstrates how powerful he is, just with everybody that he's got under him.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we find that Nuke is still alive. He's all good. And Captain America breaks into the government databases to figure out more about this, and he finds out that Nuke is also part of the super soldier program that created Captain America.
I guess there was a batch of like 20 dudes and Nuke was the only one that survived.
Yep. And part of his like skin is like plastic or something.
I don't know. Is that important?
Yeah. I don't think it's that important, but it's kind of an interesting character feature. Maybe that's why he wasn't hurt as much, or why he doesn't feel anything. I don't know, it's weird, but interesting development. This guy's a super soldier and he's crazy taking pills and stuff, so obviously kind of shows, you know, how he's able to do all of the destruction and everything. So then we see him again. He breaks out of his handcuffs and stuff, and then
he takes like a handful of the red pills.
Oh, he takes like a bunch of red pills, throwing them back like they're mini M&Ms or something. And then we got Cap doing some stuff. Daredevil puts his suit back on. Cap takes out Nuke. It's all very general. He pushes Nuke off of a building. They crash through a building roof, which
Daredevil,
is classic.
Daredevil's near that building.
Doing Daredevil stuff.
Heads that way.
And then
helicopter comes back, locked and loaded.
It's not the helicopter guy. It's just a normal fleet of helicopters. But they're trying to kill Cap.
Yeah. He took Nuke, and so I guess he's probably the main target.
Yep.
So Cap stops like some of the soldiers that come and try and stop them, and then Daredevil takes Nuke and they get in a cab, and then Daredevil's like driving around New York.
He sucks at driving.
And then everyone's like, blind man, can't you see? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like calling him blind. I guess like he can't see, his senses don't work past the windshield. And then, like, it's raining right now.
Well, they do. It's just hard for him to focus on
everything.
Right,
and it makes it even harder to focus with the rain. And it's just funny, like, it all is. This.
Yep. So now Cap's in the helicopter trying to go after Daredevil, who has taken Nuke and now is in this cab. And then they escape, I guess. And then, like, the next page is just, like, Nuke on the Daily Bugle desk of Ben Urich. And then that's kind of that.
Ends. He like confesses like everything, and then Kingpin reads it in the paper. He goes to work out to
he's getting
steam. He's getting those delts big.
He's getting a bunch of like lawsuits. So basically, like, we find that like Daredevil found a way to make this all work and sort of clear his name, and now he's good.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. So then everything's all fine and dandy.
This all happened in like 3 pages. Like,
it was definitely wrapping it up. Like, I feel like
he's like,
it could have
David's
been.
David's like, Frank, we have like 3 pages. And he's like, oh shit. He takes them to Daily Bugle, and Ben Urich takes some things, and
everything's great. Yay.
Kingpin has lawsuits. He's real mad, and Daredevil's good with Karen Page.
Right.
And wraps it up.
Yeah.
So, and that's the end.
And that's Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah. So
That was really cool, super satisfying to read. Worked really well with how old it was.
I feel good that I read it, you know. Obviously, it jumps back and forth, and it's probably a little bit difficult to listen to us explain it. But
I think what really helped me move forward was that we had to read it by Thursday.
Of course.
I thought my procrastination would go away once I finished school, but no, it's just as bad. Like, I finished it like right before you got here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I finished it. Yep. Right before I got here as well. I've had to finish it to come here.
You're driving it on the, you're driving.
I was reading it on the road. Yeah. So then that's Daredevil Born Again. I definitely recommend going to read it. It's very reflective of its time and how fast paced it is, but it's a lot of really good stuff.
Either way. Like,
just showing his Daredevil psyche and like everything's kind of going on around him. And he keeps it interesting, even though like Daredevil's not always on the page.
Definitely. Yeah, I like how it's the narration is with like each character. Almost, so it's kind of, you can kind of get into their heads a little bit more,
and you see how dark all of that is. So
right.
So then with that, let's go into our poll list.
Perfect.
So where we are hypocrites and actually read individual issues. What's something that you were reading?
Sex Criminals, it's back. It was on a hiatus for quite a bit. It's the Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky book.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrapping up its last arc.
Still awesome.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's all been building up to this point. But I love that book. It's great. I recommend it to a lot of people that just don't read comic books because it's funny.
Yeah.
And like the concepts.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
I feel like that's a good one to recommend to people.
Yeah, because it's
like
not
modern
too,
comics.
Yeah, it's not too over your head. It's not too like nerdy.
Makes funny dick jokes.
Yeah, tons of dick jokes.
Yeah. Well then I guess I'll go off of that. Speaking of Chip Zdarsky, I've been reading his Daredevil run.
Okay.
And it's been phenomenal.
Can't get enough Daredevil.
I guess not. No. I just read a lot. But I'm caught up on that. He's got Mark Cicchetto on art I believe is how you say it. But he's also got like Jorge Fornes on a couple issues and stuff like that. And that's a really good one. The idea behind that one is that he accidentally kills a person.
Okay.
And the person that he kills is connected to like a case that he's like currently working on as like a lawyer. And then obviously he stops being Daredevil. That's a thing of every issue. And there's some like Elektra stuff that's thrown in there. It's all really good. I can't pitch it very well. But one of the interesting things he's introduced in that book is a cop that gets transferred to Hell's Kitchen. And he's very like by the books cop.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's obviously not a big fan of Daredevil, but then the system kind of like screws him over. And then him and like Matt Murdock sort of have like a heart to heart on like, it's Daredevil being like, I'm trying to do some good and the system doesn't work a lot of the times.
Right.
And so
that's cool.
The cop is now kind of like on his side, but it's a really cool dynamic.
Nice.
So that's okay. One of the things I've been reading. What else have you been reading?
You know, I really just made time for, this week's book. Yeah, so it's basically. Really just that, hopefully you will have something that's like a bit shorter for next week.
yeah, this one was very dense,
but you know, still got a ton of need to read kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I finally caught up on just the individual like issues that I have like one or two of. And now I have like whole series that I like haven't read. So there's yeah. Farmhand that I'm behind like 10 issues on.
10 issues?
Basically. I'm
maybe like three. Yeah. Wow, that's a good book. It is kind of, it's like the scenes are very long.
Yeah.
And so that kind of makes it drag a little, but it's awesome.
Yeah. And then I also have been picking up all of Batman White Knight by Sean Gordon Murphy.
Oh, okay. I have all the issues of like the first run or the first arc or whatever.
Yep. And so I've been picking up all of the second arc.
Do you like it?
I haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
I haven't read it like at all. I've just been picking them up cause I know I want to read them. so yeah, I just need to get to that.
Okay. For sure. Is that everything you've been reading?
Basically.
Oh, I normally try and give like one episode a night to Doom Patrol. Like DC Universe and have been really into that show. I can't say whether or not I'd recommend it yet.
Yep.
I think it's just kind of something I like. It's just a bunch of characters I've never really seen. I tried reading Doom Patrol, but never.
It's hard.
Never finished it. Like the old shit. Like
it's hard to read. Yeah.
Grant Morrison stuff. So just being introduced to all this, and it's definitely, like drawn out. Like,
is it still like trippy in the show?
Yeah. There's some stuff I'm like. Like some really weird concepts.
That's good.
And so it's like as weird as it's supposed to be.
It's been recommended to me, like if you specifically like comics. And so I think I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, I definitely like a lot of the other ones, like the CW stuff I've kind of fallen off of. But this definitely. One is really cool.
Yep. Cool. So then let's try and figure out what our next trade is going to be right
okay.
here on the spot. So we've done
DC last week.
DC. We've done the big two.
Marvel.
We can do another big two, but I think we might want to do
independent. Maybe next week we'll do another big two. I think we could do like, you know, one of the like DC, Marvel, indie. You know yeah. what I mean?
What's like the big indie book that people always get recommended? I feel like I've read a lot of them and I want to read something that I've never read.
I think the one of the most popular ones is The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
Yes.
Okay.
I've read the first trade at least.
Okay.
But there's things like, you know, like Powers.
I still have that read. One. I think it's got to be like kind of, we should start off really popular so people are like, oh yeah, I've read this or
I mean,
whatnot.
I can't recall anything that happened in The Walking Dead, so maybe we could do that.
Okay. Yeah, we could. So the first volume of The Walking Dead?
Yep, just the first volume. I think
sounds
that'd be
good.
Because I remember the show, and we can talk a lot about the show, but...
Yeah, it's pretty... volume one of The Walking Dead and the first season.
Yeah. Okay, I'm down to do that. Dressed. Walking Dead.
Okay, nice. Sounds good. And then if we even... I don't think we'll ever come around to doing like a volume two of stuff, but if we could, there's plenty of volumes of that.
Well, maybe every like 10 episodes or something, we'll do like... a bigger collection, like a hardcover or
a compendium.
No, that's gotta be like issue 100. I'm not, or that's gotta be like episode 100. I'm not gonna do a compendium.
We'll do the, We should decide that now. Like, so I have the Saga Compendium, which is the first like 54 issues.
There's how many are there in total right
54.
Now?
54. So it's on a hiatus.
So that,
it's
gonna if be, you finish that, you're caught up.
Exactly. That's everything you need.
That's crazy.
You can borrow it if you want.
No.
That's the best indie book.
No, it's great. I read the first hardcover and I'm really into it.
But. And then like the Robert Kirkman compendiums, like The Walking Dead and Invincible, those are like 48-inch issues.
I think Invincible would be a good compendium.
No, I have a better idea.
What?
You know, those huge, huge compendiums that they have for like Jack Kirby, like the Fourth World ones. They're like 1,000
New pages. Gods?
New Gods, yeah. That'd be incredible.
How are we going to cover that?
We definitely have to narrow it down.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So we'll go Walking Dead next episode.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and outro us. I never want to do this.
So we got an email. You can email us. Tell us what you think. If
Trade
you
have any
recommendations, Trade Waiters at
TradeWaiterspod@gmail.com.
Almost got it.
We have a Twitter.
We do.
I don't know if you know that.
What are we going to do?
At TradeWaitersPod.
Okay.
Need
to get that Instagram handle too.
Yeah, we need to get a Facebook and an Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. So
check us out.
Tell us how you like it. If you hate it, that'd be interesting. Recommendations that we could potentially end up doing.
Share it with your friends if you like it.
Friends if you don't like it.
Yep.
follow me, the real Daniel Natividad on Instagram.
As if there's a fake one that's trying to.
There's plenty of fake ones. That's why I don't have my name.
That's why you're so famous.
Exactly.
And then I am at Natividad N3. NATIVIDAD.
Perfect.
N3. So, yep. Later. Thanks for listening.